step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I actually give a whole talk about treating our work like an athletic event. And when you see it that way, it doesn't mean you don't have fun. And I mean, having a shift drink and hanging with the people you just did battle with should never be taken away.
But I mean, what's wrong with, like, calling that out a little bit? It almost feels like our industry is growing up a little bit. And I know it's easy to hold on to, like, it's easy to hold on to what was and to really glorify it. And I liked the school of hard knocks. I liked how hard life was. I felt like I was doing something not a lot of people could handle. But it doesn't mean it needs to be the norm. And I think to have that stuff challenged, I don't think is that awful.
This collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
Shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Welcome to Mumber Food Pod, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your Nissan claws. Here are the Good Brothers.
Oh, yeah. What's up, everybody?
Yo.
It's been a few minutes, I know. Did somebody kill a raccoon or something? What the fuck was that? It's the craziest sound I've ever heard.
Well, it was just me going, woo!
No, it was like a... It was a weird, like, I don't know. Welcome back to Plum Love Foods Live. Hope you guys have enjoyed the content over the past couple weeks. Been a little bit crazy, you know. Summertime is a little bit nuts for the boys, and the past 2 weeks were different.
No exception.
Busy as shit, but that's the way it goes. So it's easier to put some great content up. I'll tell you what, I really enjoy playing that content from the olden days of working with Station Head. You know, playing that content last week. That was a pretty fun show, Jeffy. I don't know how much you remember about that. We had a lot of fun with those guys. There were some rough times, but there were some fun times too.
No, listen, they were always great. They always brought the heat. They always brought great guests. And, for me, it was always just I can never work with a server. It, like, for some reason, my internet, I never could be on the show.
You know, done a lot of work now, man, over there. And they've got their stuff together. If you haven't checked them out, stationhead.com, check them out. There's big names over there now. It's really big. I mean, I think Nicki Minaj is on now. It's crazy the people that are on there, Dan.
That's amazing. Yeah, I've seen more and more of them lately. I remember I've listened to you guys on them having the same thing where it seemed like the service was bad, but
Right. Hopefully
they got the shit together, you know? But, you know, time, I keep hearing around. Even Brimstone, he said that second time he heard them come up on our content, on our after show, we're talking about it. And when I said their name wrong, Station Head, it's Station Head.
Yeah, you're a mess. That's... Man.
Wow, what did you call it?
You're hosting... Well... You see it? Jeffy, you shouldn't. Okay, but you did a great job with it, Dan.
I tried, man. I was like, station head? I had notes, you know.
He was like, check him out at Radiohead on the App Store or some shit.
I love Radiohead.
Yeah, I didn't even know they were a group until yesterday.
Are you serious, dude?
Yeah, I don't listen to rock, man. It's not like that rock. Classic.
That's just like,
what is that?
That everybody should know. You don't have to like them.
Sorry, man.
But you've definitely heard of them.
I guess, maybe.
Everybody knows who Radiohead is.
Sorry, man. I hate to disappoint you, bro. Like that wasn't a big part of like my childhood. I don't know.
Well, if it wasn't on the local radio, you weren't even a kid when they came out.
Yo, see? So I was too old for that shit.
Who doesn't know Jeffy? Who doesn't know Radiohead?
I don't know. I'm having a hard time. I apologize.
You never heard?
Come on, Creep.
Yeah, Creep.
Creep what? No, with TLC?
We're not calling
Creep?
Him.
Yeah, TLC. God. That's my shit. I love that song. I wanna creep.
No.
Let me get down, bro. Come on.
Whatever makes you happy. Whatever makes you sad. That song?
No. No idea what you're talking about.
Shut up. Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm sorry.
You ever listen to King A? None of that shit?
King what? King A?
Kid A.
Nope. Kid A. Nope. Kid Capri. I know Kid Capri.
That's not something you should tell everybody on purpose.
Hey, I'm just letting you know. Yo, back in the 90s, Kid Capri was the shit. Seen him live. Back when DJs
really
went up against each other.
Yeah, I remember that guy. All right.
No?
Nothing? Nothing?
Let it ride for one second. Come on.
Is it in a movie?
Oh my god.
This is our build in a movie, I heard it.
When you were in the floor. Alright, I'll fast forward. Just get to the hook.
Oh wait. I've heard this, but I haven't heard.
Yeah, I'm getting to the hook for you, Dan. Let me get to the hook.
I haven't heard this one.
I wish I was special.
But I feel like it's
so fucking special. But I'm a creep.
Whoa. Alright, that got really loud, sorry.
Yeah.
Really loud.
I've heard that, but I feel like I heard a different version. Is there somebody do like a cover of that or something?
Of course. A lot of people cover
Everybody.
It. They're famous.
Yeah, I just can't believe you didn't know that, Dan. Alright, well, that's Radiohead.
Okay.
Station Head is an app.
Alright.
Station Head is an app. Yes, Station Head is an app where you can listen to different podcasts, different songs. I think they throw stuff up like radio and stuff. It's good.
I'm glad we made that really clear.
Right.
Good. Good. We got it. We got it now.
Is that horse dead? Maybe we should kick it some more. Tonight, we got a great episode tonight. We got a New York City legend joining us here in a few minutes. Joaquin Baca is going to join us, a.k.a. Kino. This dude is the man. He's been all over the place, but taking a little hiatus from the food business. Jeffy is a good friend of yours. I'm excited to talk to him here in a few.
Love him. He's a living legend. Can't wait for you guys to meet him. We have a great time together every time I see him. And, you know, it's what it is. I can't wait for you guys to hang out.
He'll be joining us here in just a few minutes, too. But first, I want to jump in here really quick, boys, and tell you, I get Food & Wine magazine, Dan, like the actual physical magazine, right? Maybe it's because I'm an old lady. I don't know. I like to have the magazine to look at. Is that weird?
I mean, I guess. I get it. That's why I like comics. I understand.
Yeah. So
the physical.
I get the magazine, but I get a postcard from them yesterday in the mail that tells me that they are discontinuing the paper magazine until further notice due to a paper shortage. However, they would like to give me a membership to the website so I can still look at all of their fabulous content via the website as much as I need. Now, is this things to come? Is that what we're looking at here? Are even food magazines dying now? Because they blamed it on a paper shortage, which I haven't heard shit about. I mean, school's starting. I have teenage girls. We're about to buy a shitload of paper. There's plenty of it. Do you mean the magazine can't get paper?
I don't even know.
Is it an environmental thing, or is it a paper thing?
No,
like,
it could
be an environmental.
It says paper shortage.
Yeah.
This has got to be a backlash from the COVID toilet paper thing.
You think so? Maybe it's all...
It's my guess. I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, I'm not an expert, but I know some things.
It makes me sad. I like the actual physical magazine. I like to use that. If there's a recipe I'm going to mess with or fuck around with, I want to have it in front of me, not on my phone.
Yeah, I agree.
My wife is thrilled, I guarantee it, that this is happening. Because I have so many of these magazines that I won't throw away because of one little thing that I want to keep. to like never use, but I'll be like, no, don't throw that one away. There's a spice blend in there that I really liked, and I want to try it. I'll try to remember it. I'm not even lying, guys. I have like a box.
Why don't you full? You should get into scrapbooking, Jeffy, and make one big recipe scrapbook.
Oh, big recipe collage,
and then we could call you Jeffy Scrapbook.
I love this.
I had a scrapbook when I was a kid. I'd cut the recipes.
This motherfucker had a scrapbook but didn't know who fucking Radiohead was.
Yo, I had a scrapbook because I was into cooking. I wasn't into listening to whatever the hell that was, being creepy. No, that wasn't me. So I used to cut little newspapers out, you know, cut out the recipe, and then I'd make it. That's how I made my walnut cookies when I was like 4. That was my shit. I had a whole scrapbook.
Whatever happened?
Glued it in. I have it somewhere. It's around. It's in with all my other shit. I have like a box of bullshit that I had to keep on.
I mean, this show really does stink. We've talked about Radiohead and Dan's talking about his box of bullshit.
Yo, it's a box. Yo, everybody has to have a box of bullshit. I'm telling
you. We're on fire. It's Thursday.
Yeah, Jesus. Well, listen, I think that if it's a sign of things to come, Food and Wine Magazine discontinuing their until further notice. It didn't say forever. It said until further notice. Their actual magazine, paper magazine. I think it's sad, man. And I think it's I don't know. I mean, I don't use an iPad in my kitchen because, I mean, I know they like to pretend like all these chefs have iPads in their kitchen, but bro, any chef that's got an iPad isn't bringing that motherfucker in the kitchen because it'll fucking get broken. It's expensive as hell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not bringing a fucking iPad in the kitchen. Jeffy Warbucks might, but I'm not.
I have one that I keep in the kitchen, but that's, I mean, like, you know, it's not here and there.
And then you have to find it. I don't know. It's terrible. Dan.
I keep it on the stand.
Yeah. Well, and it turns off when you're trying and you fucking try. I hate it. Dan, what do you think, man?
I have a computer. I print out the recipes. So I guess that's, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily a shortage of paper right now. I think it's a shortage of paper in the future. I always think, how much paper do we have? We only have so many trees. And you can only plant so many trees and it takes so long for a tree to grow.
They synthesize that shit now.
So, yeah, I mean, it all comes from something and goes somewhere. There's always some tragic issue with whatever it is that's going on with life.
I guess. I just thought it was upsetting. I couldn't believe it. And they said they will reinstate my actual paper subscription when this comes back. But anyway, for me, I was just like, seriously, this is a thing that's happening. So pay attention, folks. If you like any food magazines, there might become a shortage of them. Maybe it's because we're getting all these shit cookbooks put out these days. Maybe that's what's causing it. I don't know. Every fucking home cook on the planet thinks they can just write a cookbook now because they made a fucking charcuterie plate on Instagram that got 700 likes. I don't know. I'm going to make a cookbook now.
You're not wrong.
I know. Crazy. I'm an expert. I have a microphone, clearly.
Man, don't be a hater.
I'm not hating. I'm just saying, like, look at these cookbooks.
You're spewing some haterade, though.
Is it?
Listen, man, fuck it. Like, somebody's mom wants to write a cookbook because, you know, at the church, everyone loves her. I mean, whatever. Go for it. Do your thing, Gravatti.
No, but what if it's some 20-something-year-old kid who's never done shit, who worked at, I don't know, Capital One, then during the pandemic, they thought, I'm going to go ahead and start baking cookies and make charcuterie plates. And they got 700 likes, and then they wrote a cookbook about it.
Is he getting paid?
No. They act like they are, but they're not.
If he's not getting paid, he's wasting his money. But if he's getting paid, I don't knock the hustle. I'm like, go for it. Go for it, young Padawan. Get out there. Do your damn thing.
All right. Here's my rebuttal to that is that who's testing these recipes? Like, cookbooks used to have to go through a testing process. Yep. You knew they were legit. You knew they were good. You knew the people that gave you those recipes. You stood behind those people. You knew who they were. But now you got these people who are like you said, at-home moms. I'm sure the recipes are great, but, like, are they accurate? Are they good? If you went home and you made that, is it going to be what you expect it to be? Or is it just some Instagram bullshit that's supposed to look pretty but tastes like shit? Like, what is it that they're – so that's where I'd be, like – it's watering down the supply because people are buying those types of books instead of like real legit cookbooks.
I mean, I was being facetious that the shit cookbooks are watering down the paper supply, but I mean, I was just being jackass, but I mean, it is pretty unbelievable, man. I don't know. Listen, just because you can take some egg yolk and some oil and whip it and turn it into mayonnaise and think you made fucking magic happen. Newsflash, you're not. We've been doing it for years. All right. Maybe
seriously.
A little bit of haterade. I apologize for that.
Hello, this is Jose Heineken.
And my mom.
There you go.
We're all over the place.
It's not really. I think we're pretty straight on here where we've been. It's nothing changing. Nothing different. Listen, we got a great guest coming up here. We got to bring that positivity back. Sorry, I got angry when I lost my subscription to Food and Wine, Jeffy. It made me angry.
I can tell, man. I can tell. What else are you going to read on the toilet now? I feel it.
You know, maybe if they stopped comics. They would stop giving those subscriptions away like Columbia House used to with CDs, it might make life a lot easier.
Oh yeah.
Man, do not miss that though.
A little bit, kinda.
That's another sidetrack.
Yeah, I guess it is. Hey, we come back. Joaquin Baca, a.k.a. Kino, is going to join us here in just a few minutes. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live with Chef Jeffy, Chef Dan, and Chef Plum. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Today, our world is tainted. Our world is struggling. Our world may never be our world again. Today will be the last today, because tomorrow will feel different. Tomorrow will not be the same. Tomorrow will be a chance to try again, if we let it. We must open our eyes. It must make sense. It must be passed down to a new generation, a generation of hope, a younger generation who may just save our industry. A generation that understands functional and revolts against non-functional. Take a stand and join the fight. Say no to rosemary sprigs, chopped red peppers. Say no to kale leaves, flowers, and balsamic reduction for no reason. Say no to non-functional garnish. Paid for by the Fight Against Non-Functional Garnish Old People Put on Plates Across America Association.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Oh, Jeffy, I gotta tell you, buddy. Sometimes I get down and out. I don't know what to look at. I get upset about not having my magazine to read. But you know what I reach for to get my spirits uplifted, Jeffy?
Idea. What could replace Food and Wine on your mantle?
Oh man, I'll tell you what. It's a fantastic book written by a great author named Harry Thomas. It's called Peace by the Sea. I get inspired by it all the time when I look at it, Jeffy.
I can't imagine why not. Harry L. Thomas, first of all, is a gentleman and a scholar. Rhodes Scholar, if you will. He put this book together with love and intention, and it fills my heart with joy.
Absolutely unbelievable. Let me tell you something. He's a wonderful actor, a great author. So great, he's got a second book out as well called Finding Peace by the Sea. Harry's first book, Peace by the Sea, and Finding Peace by the Sea are both available at harrythomas.com. Shouting out Harry Thomas here on Plum Love Foods Live on a Thursday. Woo! Living a dream, Jeffy. Getting through the summer. I can't believe.
Every day.
My kids start school next week. That's crazy.
It's wild.
Unbelievable. Get it going. I mean, they don't start school. They've been in school for a long time. My kids are going to sophomore year of high school, whatever. But, you know, you get it. It's already starting.
I do get it.
Well.
I do get it.
And the good news is I'm around for that, which is kind of one of the benefits of my job. But like a lot of chefs in the world, they didn't get to be around for their kids' days of school and stuff. So they make changes, much like our guest tonight did. As a matter of fact, Joaquin Baca is a New York City legend, a.k.a. Kino. We all know him and love him from Mama Fuko and so many amazing places that he's been, and now has
Brooklyn
taken the turn, doing a different, you know, stretch of the imagination, stretch of hospitality. He's embarking on that journey and doing a fantastic job of it. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast right now, our friend Kino. Hey, what's up, buddy?
How you doing?
Living the dream. Man. Upset about my fucking magazine. That's what I'm upset about.
I don't know if there's a paper shortage is really a thing. I feel like that's sort of manufacturers taking the lazy seat.
Brother, I swear to God, the postcard says to me, due to a paper shortage. Really?
But they sent it on a postcard?
Money. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, do you not see the irony in that?
They couldn't print a postcard.
Yeah. How about an email? I don't know. Fucking carrier pigeon, something like that. Kino, listen, Jeffy's you guys have known each other for years. Speak super highly of. We've been very excited to get you on the program, man. Welcome. Excited to hear your story. Brother, you are a bit of a legend in New York City.
Oh, that's bad. In very small circles, maybe.
Listen, I gotta tell you, I recently watched a video with Munchies that you did where you guys went out to eat all night, you and a bunch of chef buddies, and all I wanted to do is be there with you.
Yeah, that's a good time. That was a good era.
Yeah, it's fucking fantastic. Brother, tell us a little bit of your story about, you know, we're going to get to where you are now, but I want to talk a little bit about where you came from, because, you know, I always say you never know where you're going unless you know where you came from. So, I mean, you've worked at some pretty amazing places with some pretty amazing people. Can you kind of give us the, you know, the Reader's Digest version of the beginning?
Sure. Real quick, I started, well, I grew up in a foreign service family, so I grew up overseas. So I didn't live in the States until I was 18-ish or so. And then I went to Texas, where my family's from. I went to the University of Texas and immediately started working in little kitchens there. This is 1993. Well, I guess it would have been 95 when I started kitchens.
Okay.
It was just like little cafes. I did like overnight egg station at Kirby Lane Cafe, and there's a lot of all the good classic stuff that those of us of that generation did, which is, you know, kind of working our way up in those mom and pop kind of, yep, hustle joints. And then went to Santa Fe for a few years and worked in Santa Cafe under Chef David Sellers. Shortly after that, came to the city. New York City, and partnered up with Chang and opened Momofuku in 2004, and did that, opened like the first five restaurants in the first 5 years or 6 years. And then I kind of bowed out as the empire started to grow beyond my interest.
I sort of
segued out into like a little spot that I opened in Brooklyn and had for about 9 years, called Brooklyn Star, and then tried some other things, but ultimately closed my last restaurant as COVID was kind of winding up.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, man, because a lot of chefs, you know, if you're working with, you know, David Chang and with Momofuku, and it's that you're part of the opening team, mm-hmm, there, and it's blowing up and getting as big as it is, that's when you know, a lot of chefs would want to stay there and you know, see, yeah, what happens. And you were like, fuck this, I'm out.
Yeah, no, I get that. You know, like when I came into it, Dave didn't come out from a real like high vantage point. You know, he did start out from a real high vantage point in that case. So like, it was, you know, like we were definitely like an underdog, and the man that everybody knows is Dave Chang was just the schluck in a coat.
Yeah.
What I got into it for was different. You know, like I'm what they call a cook's cook. You know, I love the work. I love the hustle. I don't love the screen. I don't love the attention stuff. And I didn't love it when Momo became this giant empire and we started to kind of branch out into some other cities and some other kind of investor situations. And it just sort of took a little bit of the joy out of it, because when that thing was humming, man, it was so much fun. God, it was great. We had like this like really great crew of chefs that were like, you know, really like kind of operating in this like very like cooperative kind of sense of creativity and productivity. And it was pretty baller. Once that kind of started to fade, it's kind of hard to, it was hard, mm-hmm, for me just to stay in. So I kind of dipped, which, you know, I get it. It's odd. It's like the story of that grandma who sold her stock in AT&T so she could, you know, buy a new Chevy Nova. I get that, but, I've never had any regrets about it.
The day, like when you said, you know what, this is getting out of control now. I don't want to be a part of this. Was it literally like a moment? Was it something you've been thinking about for a couple of months, or did it just hit you all at once?
It kind of built up. But it was mostly as the company sort of grew into the point where it needed CEOs, CFOs, and HR department became a thing. And, you know, don't get me wrong. Like, I know that all that stuff's necessary. But it's just kind of hard when you sort of get to know, an operation in a certain way. And then for some, you know, maybe better equipped individuals to come in and try to clean it up and make it more presentable. It just while I get that's important for growth, it just it just kind of took my love and turned it into something a little bit prettier, a little bit cleaner, and it just sort of wasn't my jam. So
there's nothing worse. So it was, you do something great like that, something you love, you're into, and then a corporate motherfucker comes and tells you what color pants you need to wear.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
That happened to me. But ultimately, like that was Dave's goal and vision, and like he wanted to blow it up and he wanted to expand it, and that certainly is right. And so like I even while I carried resentments about it for a bit, like it was never really my place to feel like I'm just and now in retrospect I'm just thrilled that I got to be a part of something like that. But Those like things like that don't come along too often, so to get to be in it and like a really big part of it from that that sort of nascent stage is just rad, and it's like it's just really cool to like have that as something that I got to do at some point in my life.
That's really fucking
cool. A lot of people like exactly.
Are you still talk to David?
Yeah. We talk as often as we get a chance. Yeah, we're still pals.
That's awesome, man. When's the last time you went to the restaurant just to eat?
Oh God, it's been maybe like 10 years or so. I don't know. It's been a while. It's a little bit like visiting your ex-girlfriend. You know, like you're happy she's doing great and she's got kids, but you don't necessarily want to see it.
Yeah, no. Nice to hear about, but
So glad you're doing well over there.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about you because you moved on to open your own place after that. When you did that, it wasn't out of like You weren't like, okay, I'm going to do all these things different. I felt like you kind of took some of the things you learned there and made it your own and made it this incredible restaurant. But, trying to stay away from some of that, I don't know. The only term I can think of is like corporate stuff because I know it's what it becomes. But, you said, having that HR department and having, you kind of went that direction with like a smaller sort of situation. How hard was it to go from one to the other?
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely fought that tooth and nail, and that was certainly part of like my sort of ethos was to like avoid that ever happening, and at the same time, like the only like that was my prime example of how to like run and operate something successfully, and like that place was such an anomaly. Like you couldn't like replicate that situation, the timing, any of it, if you tried. And so it's kind of a, it's kind of a sort of a false ideal, I guess. But it is what I sort of used. And it was, to a fault, there were points where I was sort of thinking about it in the terms of the way Momofuku existed. And it's just, that's just not practical.
Right. Not the same thing at all, But did you have the experience of, worrying about cost, thinking about insurance, having to pay, like just all that background shit.
Yeah, but that part blows. Yeah. And I didn't know that it blew. I mean, I knew it blew. I just didn't know how much it blew. And it blew a lot.
And how much time it takes.
Real blowy.
Real blowy. But, you want to go, just want to go cook, and now you have to do with all this bullshit, man, because it's just part of the business. Right.
Sure. Like from a distance, you look at those things and you're like, oh God, what's that going to occupy? Like another like small portion of my day. Like I can do that. I can just like add that into my duties. Right. And you do, or sort of one does, but you figure out a way to make it happen, but it just takes a lot. That version of it, like where what I did was to gather money from borrow whatever I could. Like I borrowed my brother's like re-enlistment check. I borrowed money from my brother-in-law, from my folks. I took money, my buyout from Momofuku. Like I got like every little bit of cash I could without involving any outside investors. And that's really cool to be able to do. But it also leaves you in a really fucking terrifying position.
Yeah. There's no safety.
Because everything's on you. Yeah, exactly.
It's one of those things, man. There's so many chefs I know who are so excited. I'm going to open my own restaurant. I'm going to do this. And I'm like, I'm going to run this. I'm going to make this great steakhouse. I'm going to make this great, just the food that I want to go do. And I mean, it all sounds great and fun and amazing until you go do it and you realize your margins are 2% and you're not really making a lot of money.
Sure.
And you're trying to figure out how you're going to keep the lights on in the building. I don't know. Like it just, I've always said how much that just, there's so much. When I was younger, I wanted to do it. Now I want nothing to do with it. You know, it sounds right. Fucking terrible.
Yeah, and the big jump in that learning curve that I had to make was, like, you know, going from something like Momofuku that had, like I said, that very strange trajectory that went from, you know, like a no name to, like, we could get away with doing whatever we wanted because yeah. Our shit don't stink kind of, right. Like, vibe. And then to, like, opening a restaurant that doesn't have that kind of momentum. And so, like, having to, like, make that sort of, like, having to adapt to that reality took a little bit longer than I would have liked for it to have. But eventually I caught on that you know, I was just, you know, playing a different game.
Man, that sounds crazy. Jeffy, I just can't imagine. Like, you go from, you know, working at it's opening someplace like Momofuku, then you open your own place, and there's a lot of space there between those two parallel lines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, crazy amount of space and like a totally different feeling, I can imagine, when you changed helms, you know, I mean, like running a kitchen and like keeping everything in line in that sense is already stressful enough. But when you do that plus take care of every other fucking thing in the world, I mean, I think that's why you wear so many hats. I mean, I remember when you were opening up Bumu in the West Village, and I would stop by and you're like building the bar. And I'm like, dude, you're building the bar? And you were like, yeah. I remember being like, what the fuck? Holy shit. And you were like, bro, what do you think's gonna happen if I don't build a bar? Like, and I was like, oh, like, uh-huh. And I remember just like being like, oh, I didn't get it. And the fact that you could do it, it looked awesome. I was always like, I'm like, man, this guy's like, and I'm sure that's from working for years. Like, I know when Momofuku opened up, it was like a shoestring budget at first, right? I'm sure, like, when you first opened, it was like.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I mean, I've read interviews with Dave where he was talking about, like, you know, literally things almost burning down on a regular basis and, like, you know, all sorts of crazy things on all the time. And, like, I'm sure you were a key helper in that. How did you learn that stuff on the job?
A lot of MacGyver moments. You know, like, before I started cooking, I had some construction jobs. And then, like, you know, during cooking, you know, like, you know, as we all know, it's not like the best paying job in the world. So I always took a lot of little side hustles and did some, like, you know, like when I lived in Texas, like a lot of like air conditioning installing and some electrical work. And and then, you know, just through being a part of restaurant openings, you know, it's sort of, you know, necessity is the mother of invention version of learning. I'm not sure what that is, but having to, like, basically, like, you know, having to think on your feet and having to, like, you know, figure out a solution or just flounder. And certainly it's generally been my way to at least fake it till I make it, and in those kinds of scenarios, and that worked out well for us. But yeah, like you said, like Momofuku was definitely like not the giant machine that it wound up being. It was you know, like, we had to cobble everything together with duct tape and baling wire, just like everyone else.
Were there any items on the menu that, you know, they were like, okay, this is gonna be on the menu, and I'm sure you had a lot of input with that, and you were like, what the fuck, we were gonna do what?
Yeah, well, that was, I mean, certainly, but that was part of the sort of the adventure of having so many heads, you know, like a planned chef, and it was like that once we kind of got rolling with everybody that we hired on was on, like, this real kind of, like, I don't know. It was like we were all kind of set up without, like, any real hierarchy, and we just kind of pooled our collective you know, histories and you know, like, all the wild hairs that had ever been up any of our wild asses like, all came out, and
pirates.
And so, you know, it was really good to have, like, a, you know, like, have each other to edit stuff. So in general, anything that got its way to the menu had already been through, like, a couple of you know, sort of develop, like, call it R&D, but I think we all know what that means. I mean, sitting at a bar and writing shit down on cocktail napkins.
Hell yeah.
And those cocktail napkins, so you would remember what the hell you were talking about the night before, kind of scenario. But it was interesting, really interesting.
Yeah. So you've done all of this stuff, you know, and you've now, you know, you've taken the turn, you've gone private, not as a chef, though, but as a property manager, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, anybody who's smart in the industry, if that's the move, that's what you do. Because, you know, if you're going to do it, you know, it gives you more time with your family. It gives you more time. You get holidays. Yes. It's a different world now, you know. And, you know, I've been private since 2006, and I love it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, there were a number of reasons, and none of which I thought about ahead of time. I came out here in March of the beginning of COVID, and I came out here being, I work in, I manage a farm and estate in a wealthy New York enclave. I'm not sure how specific I need to be.
Nice use of the word
but
enclave,
anyways.
By the way. Solid use of your
enclave. Don't get a lot of chances for that one.
Dan's meanwhile, he's going through the dictionary right now trying to figure out what the fuck is enclave.
So I came out here because I just closed a restaurant and I needed a temp solution, and a friend of mine who was a private chef in the house asked me to come and, you know, fill in for while the family was doing their COVID panic.
Yeah.
And so I did that, and that's fine. And I've done this kind of work before, and it's great. But it's just not for me, especially like I'm a restaurant guy, and I could never find, like, I could never scratch that itch, in the private kitchen. It just like, I didn't get the gratification that I got from, like, you know, at the end of a night of service, like that, you know, heroic champion feeling. And I just like,
totally.
It's just a different, you know, like, and just being able to, or having to like tailor to the needs of one client versus having all the clients, you know, try to figure out a way to eat something that I've made, or try to, you know, try to figure out how to order one of my options, you know. It's just a totally different career almost. And ultimately it's just like, I just didn't like see myself in it for too long. So I kind of like segued out. I saw something else.
It's good money,
which,
though.
Yeah, great money, fantastic money, and that's attractive. And it's, and like you said, you know, like I got kids too. I got little ones. Mine are 2 and 5 now.
Oh, they still like you. That's good. Okay, wait till they're 15.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Which is why, you know, I'm happy to make all kinds of sacrifices for them, because they're still gratifying as human beings. They're still. Yeah.
I still like them back. It's awesome. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's like, I don't know how long it's going to last, but I'll take what I can get.
You got a few
Absolutely.
Years.
Yeah, and in the meantime, I enjoy being around them. So I really wanted to kind of stretch that out. And frankly, you know, like, I just like really abused myself in the restaurant industry. Like, as we all know, it's like physically, like incredibly demanding, psychologically. And
you live like a vampire.
And, you know, yeah. And, you know, like the propensity for alcohol and substance abuse. And I certainly fell, I'm not going to say victim to it, but I certainly rode that wave, to the point where, you know, I could, like, it's unhealthy, you know, and I had to make, you know, some changes so I could, you know, keep being a dad and you know, supporting my family and stuff. So there's just like a lot of factors that just like kind of like led me to reach a kind of a grown up decision, which is to sort of like, you know, surrender my constant need to be a part of that machine and try to do something that's a little bit more sensible for, you know, for myself and my family going forward.
Yeah, and that itch, you know, listen, it doesn't really ever go away, especially doing what I'm, you know, doing what I'm doing. But I worked in hotels, and it doesn't go away, but it does kind of start to dull a little bit. And, you know, if you find the right client, it's a great fit, it works. But you talked about falling into that, you know, the where we all go, where, you know, there's not always the best choices made at the end of the night and everything. But so right. Are you totally clean now, or you just take it more easy, or what's the story?
No, I stopped drinking. It's been a year and 5 months and change. Wow. Yeah, and you know, like I'm not on a high horse about this at all. Like let's you know, like I drank really hard, just sort of like as a family practice for my whole life, and then you know, like in restaurants, that's pretty easy to maintain that sort of pace. Certainly in that environment, certainly with the company I kept, and you know, it's all relative, right? So I looked around me and I'm like, no, I just drink regular, just like all these yahoos, and. I guess, you know, like once I moved out here and sort of like left myself a little more exposed and had to like take a little bit more of a look inwards. I just realized it was not like, you know, I'll just go out there and say, you know, alcoholism's pretty progressive. And I let my drinking progress pretty far. So to the point where I had to, edit myself. Okay. And I know that that's not what we're here to talk about, but, it certainly
good for you, man. That's good.
Yeah, I had to like recognize some of my traits that were gonna bring me down, and probably, you know, contributed to everything that's, you know, any of my difficulties. So I don't want to like go on too much about it, but it certainly has been sort of a welcome change in my life. And
the fact that you can recognize that is pretty incredible. A lot of people don't ever recognize that as a problem.
Yeah,
it was a problem for you.
True.
Doesn't mean it's a problem for everybody, but it was a problem for you, and you took care of it, so that's good.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Go ahead. I feel that. No, I'm just saying, I feel that. I feel that the whole, like, I feel like especially once you have children, you start having all these, like moments where you look at your kids and you're thinking about your life and you're seeing the shit you're doing with yourself, and you're like, oh, fucking, what the fuck am I doing with this? And is this the person I want to be? And all that kind of shit too. It's like, it kind of starts to weigh heavy on you, you know, and you can go one of two ways. You can either drink and party more to try to like dull that fucking inner voice that says like, stop being a shitbag, or you can be a better person. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to, like I said, I agree with you. I'm not trying to be a high horse person, but I just think that, you know, it's just what it is. You know, you gotta
take it to just a different level with it. I mean, you know, Keno, I have three daughters, and you know, Jeff and I have talked about this in the past. It's, you know, I set the tone for what their expectation of men is for the rest of their life.
Yeah,
that's on me. You know, and I don't want to be that guy who is, you know, loud and angry all the time and all, you know, I don't want that. I want them to be like, oh, my dad was a fucking riot and, you know, he was always whatever we needed. Like, you want to set that tone for them. And you know, I think what you're talking about is important. If you recognize that as a problem, then you probably need to deal with it, especially if you have kids.
Yeah, dude, fatherhood's a huge responsibility, man. And I don't know, it's like, you know, like either you like rise to the occasion or, you know, you just like, pretend it's not, and pretend it's not that big of a deal. And I don't know, man, it's kind of hard. It's tough, you know, it's tough to sort of to realize that it's not all about you. It's really hard for any human being to realize they're not the center of the universe and to apply that to like their, you know, their day in and day out. It's like, you know, as much as we all like to think that we're magnanimous and worldly and all this shit, like, you know, like the truth of the matter is like most of us, like, you know, like almost everything we do is like looking out for number one in some sense. And so it's kind of hard to break out of that. And kids really help do that. And, you know, I mean, I think restaurants are really cool. You know, it's a really good practice for being fatherhood, especially for those of us, you know, who run them and stuff, you know, like, you know, raising line cooks, and like, you know, dealing with the day to day is it's like great practice for, you know, like after that, there's like, just like nothing I haven't seen and nothing I don't, you know.
Well, yeah, Keno, I will tell you, when my daughters were born, I did insist that they call me Lord, Ruler, and Master, but my wife told me that was not a good thing to do. I did try for a bit. Dan, you've got two daughters yourself. You've been awful quiet sitting there. I know you're on mute, taking notes, listening to us. I know you got to chime in here a little bit about the kid thing for sure. You're still muted, Dan. And we'll just
He's probably been saying shit the whole time.
Damn,
he just has no idea.
No, I've been listening. Like, honestly, man.
Jesus, like, man.
First of all, it's a brave man right here. Yo, you're a brave man. All the decisions you've made are things that people are fucking terrified to make. And I applaud you for that. Like, your efforts and things that you've done, like, above everything else that you've done, like, you've done some dope shit. But to be able to stand up and be like, yo, I'm making this choice and standing by it, I applaud you for that. That's big time.
Oh, I appreciate that. But I've been terrified too. Just for the record, it's scary, man. But you know, sometimes you gotta, and not sometimes, man. I guess always, ideally, you gotta sort of look outside ourselves and try to do something that's you know, that makes us a little bit uncomfortable, yeah. And sort of you know, it's a scary world out there.
Well, let's talk about, we haven't like clarified exactly what you do now. So you've gone from doing all these amazing restaurants, your own restaurant, and you started doing some private stuff. So now you said that you're working, you know, kind of property managing, that sort of thing. Talk about your day to day. How's it changed?
Yeah. The reason that this particular job works out so well for me. And I acknowledge now that I realize that all of these, you know, property management jobs can be like totally different. The one that I sort of stumbled into is like a large property, like a 50 acre farm and estate. And so we we're farming for a couple of restaurants and a couple of purveyors but mostly for the family. But we get to run this great big beautiful farm. We keep bees and chickens and ducks and orchards of cherries and apples and peaches and pears and
can you share the farm name or is that not okay? Can you share that or no?
I don't know that I don't think I'm supposed to.
I don't think we're supposed to.
My NDA, but I guess I guess not is the answer. So I just won't.
Yeah, I know. We work for people in the same cloth.
Yeah, yeah.
same cloth.
I don't know how to put it.
My it's people just, got cloth too, Jeffy.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's
much nicer cloth.
It is nicer. It's better cloth than you got, I'm sure.
Highest thread count.
I'm just teasing. I don't know. If we're talking toilet paper, no. But, I mean, if we're talking, like, sheets, for sure.
Wow, you just are on point to offend everybody these days.
What?
Sorry, Keno. Jeffy's on fire. He's...
like, day in, day out, it's, there's a portion of the year that is very service oriented, and in that sense, that's more of like running. It's kind of like a GM role, like a restaurant GM role. The whole thing is, I guess, kind of like that a little bit. It's keeping staff running and scheduled and working appropriately, and the level of service is pretty high as far as the maintenance and the setting of the home itself. And then at the same time, it's like having like a ranch hand job, which is great, which is what makes it for me because, I get to spend, 75% of my working day. Like if I broke it down like throughout the whole year is outside. That's everything for me, if I'm leaving kitchens, I want to work outside. I could certainly find a way to find, peace and serenity working in a nice corporate job in a hotel or something, but it's just not, I'm not going to while away the end of my years, as happily as I could, doing this. So while it's a very different, job, there's like parts of it that are still kind of parallel in like the food involvement and the service, involvement, but it's different enough that I don't feel like I'm trying to replace a love that I had. I'm just finding something new.
How different are your hours now from what you used to work?
Oh man, so different. Yeah, it's so weird. Yeah, it's so weird. I mean, I still get up at the same time. I just, I'm done with work by, dinner time. I didn't even know what dinner time was, but apparently dinner time was around 8-ish. That's when people have dinner. So it's bizarre. And I do wind up working. It's funny. I probably don't have to work as much as I do, but because of the way that I've trained myself, I have a hard time letting go, and I think that's probably what makes me, what endears me to my client is I work obsessively. That's the only way I know how to do it. I spend more time here than I need to, but again, those few months out of the year that the client is here, around the clock, that's pretty busy. And then the rest of the time, it's a very pleasant. It's like a gentleman farmer's, schedule.
Man, that sounds amazing, especially after you've gone through, man. A great change of pace, and you're around for the kids. That's important.
Yeah. Read bedtime stories and get baths and hang out. Maybe not on weekends all the time, but at least I can pick my kids up from school and drop them off and summer camp and shit. And it's, that's just, I don't know, something I've just gotten used to not being available to me.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. Do you do a lot of cooking at home now to kind of satiate that urge a little bit?
A little bit. My wife does most of the cooking, just, you know, given that, like, by the time I get home from work, there's not a lot of time for me to have dinner time. She's more of, like, a 7 or 8 dinner time, and, of course, I'm more of, like, a, you know, midnight or 1 dinner time. So if she wants to eat at a regular, at a civilized dinner hour, she gets it set up for the most part.
Nice.
But, you know, I definitely find a way to entertain myself in that as well, you know.
Do you think there's a chance, I don't know, down the road, kids get older, you might try to get back into the game a little bit, maybe do a little small 13-seat, you know, 13-table restaurant, something like that?
I think it's unlikely that I don't at some point try to do something like that. You know, it's hard to, you know, it's funny. I have like a big job box in the barn that's like got basically like a kit for like a 13-seat restaurant. Like, you know, everything from Binchotan grills to plates and glasses. You know, I've got like enough stuff that I could, and it's just like what the things I couldn't let go of when I closed the restaurant. I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna need this KitchenAid mixer, and I'm gonna need these cutting boards. This is my nicest cutting board, and these are like my shiniest six pans, and I'm gonna stick those right here. And of course, I wrapped it in like a weird little squirrel, you know. And
sounds like Jeff's garage.
Yeah, exactly.
Yo, guys.
Listen, man, it's so great to just hear the stories and, you know, see another person that can, you know, go from working in one side of the business to another side, because it's all still hospitality, and hospitality is a fantastic art that we all are fortunate enough that we can make a living doing. So I love to hear those stories, man. That's really, really incredible. I know the boys have questions. I know Dan's been chomping at the bit a little bit. Dan, you got something for Kino there before we get him out of here?
Yes, I do have a few questions. Hearing your work ethic and how hard it is, and how you've, like, you're constantly, you know, going, and is that, you said your family you were traveling with the military overseas?
Foreign service.
Was it like a strip come up? Like, how was that part of your come up? Like, was that something that was like instilled in you at a young age?
Yeah, my dad joined the Peace Corps when I was like 2 or 3, and we went to Bogota when I was whatever. I think I would have been almost 3, and we didn't come back to the States. And after that, he joined the Foreign Service, which means working in embassies under, you know, different roles, mostly like administrative stuff. And then he did some like anti-narcotic stuff in Bogota and Bolivia and Colombia later in his career. And then my mom did like public health stuff in those countries through USAID, which is a branch of the Foreign Service. So we moved every couple of years, every like 2, maximum 4 years, but mostly about 2 years, Colombia, Mexico, Portugal, Philippines, Uruguay, Bolivia. And we just kind of kept it up like that. So that transient attitude is sort of hard to shake. Yeah, I'm still sort of stuck in it.
That's crazy.
Okay,
man.
Yeah.
That's nuts, man. I mean, can you imagine being in the Peace Corps and having kids? You know, I mean, fuck.
Yo, man, in Bogota, Colombia, in the 80s.
Wow. Oh,
fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Wow. Holy shit.
That's crazy, man. Takes his wife and 3 kids to Bogota not even the 80s. It would have been like 79.
Wow, that's crazy, man. That is fucking insane. Yeah. Damn,
Jeff. That's a serious humanitarian. Yeah.
Jeff, what you got for Kino before we get him out of here? I've been running my mouth to him so much. I talk a lot, Kino. I'm sorry. It's what I do for a living. I can't help it. I get paid to speak.
Let her rip.
Yeah. I mean, you've talked about so much stuff that I wanted to ask about that you guys brought up. So it's kind of one of the things that I just was wondering is, like, what's the thing you probably miss the most? Like, is it the, like, camaraderie from the restaurants, or is it just like the hustle of the restaurant? Or do you not miss are you kind of like treat it like, you know, that's closed, I don't miss any of it? Like, how does that feel?
I miss it. I miss it. I miss a lot of aspects of it. I don't, of course, miss being a restaurant owner. I miss service. I miss like the chaos, the like controlled chaos. I miss the people that I work with, you know. Like, I still pick up the occasional, you know, gig here and there, like around here. Like, you know, I have like friends that have private gigs and, you know, like have parties and like, I'll always like pop into like a kitchen and work with some like catering buddies and stuff too. And it's just like, I don't necessarily need the extra, the extra hours, but I just kind of like, I want to be around cuts, you know. I just,
yeah,
I
baby.
It's like, it's my ilk, you know, and it's where I got to be. And it's like where I, as soon as I walk in and I know, like, you know, like I'm like, you know, like I know that I'm going to find like a good recipient for like all my best dick jokes that I've been stashing away. and you know, like nobody around here wants to hear it. So yeah, you know, like I miss the whole vibe of it. And of course the food, you know, I miss being, you know, like it's almost secondary. Like I can still find ways to I'm going to go ahead and say pleasure myself. In the culinary sense, but like the rest of it, you can't synthesize, you know?
Yeah. I think, at some point in your life, you know, you have to continue to find ways to pleasure yourself. No doubt about it, you know. Brother, well, thank you so
once
much.
Once you get married, for sure.
Oh, let me tell you something, brother.
Yeah.
Listen, man, we appreciate you coming on and sharing some of your stories with us and telling us, you know, just it's pretty deep shit, man. We appreciate you getting personal.
Yeah, man. My pleasure.
Well, listen, man, we hope to see you on down the road. I got a couple more weeks out there. You never know. I might run into you.
All right, brother.
If you see a massive human being with a blue mohawk or purple or pink, depending on which sun there is, it's probably me.
Tank legs.
That shouldn't be hard to pick you out here.
Nope, not at all. Ladies and gentlemen, our good brother
Keno. Dyer.
Oh, go ahead. You, Jeffy, also have to give him goodbye. What are you going to
say? No, I was just wondering if you dyed your hair with butterfly pee, the way you described the color scheme. It was like...
Oh.
I hate you. So what is it? It might be a little sea-foam green right now, but you can go fuck yourself. It looks good. That's all that matters. Ladies and gentlemen, shout out to the legend, Keno. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Oh, man. We love you, brother.
There you go, okay. Boys and girls.
Well, I'm doing, man.
Thanks, brother. Take care. Great conversation with that guy right there. I don't know. Is it weird to say to say our conversation was great, but I liked it. I really enjoyed it. He was a great guy to talk to, Jeffy.
Absolutely, man. I love that guy. I'm glad he came on. I'm glad he shared his story with us. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine. I didn't want to go deep into it, but like, you know, all these people who have this great ideas of running restaurants and having their own place, man, when you finally get to it and you actually do it and it comes down to the brass tacks and you realize how small the margins are and how much bills are and, you know, and all of a sudden you're making less money than you were when you were a line cook, you're like, what the fuck am I doing? And I think that happens to a lot of people because they don't understand how much shit there is to deal with.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's for the love of the game, I think. I think, like he just said, he misses the hustle. I miss it. I talk about it all the time to you. You always tell me how crazy I am because I'm like, oh, Joe Plum, I'm thinking I want to open this place like this. And you're like, oh, yeah, okay, Jeffy. Sure you do.
Listen, you know, I miss it too. Like, I miss the camaraderie. I miss working the line. I love you guys have watched me work a line. I love it. I'm fucking good at it.
I know.
I love it.
I know.
The problem is I also like being able to pay my bills. That's the problem.
Right?
They don't just dim your lights when you don't pay the power bill. That shit gets turned off.
I'd be the best line cook in the world if I had a wealthy dad.
Oh, right?
Just work the line.
What do you think,
Dan? Just work that line like a fucking champ.
What do you think, Dan? I mean, you know, it sounds like such a great idea, but then when it comes down to brass tacks and you're actually doing it, fuck. You know?
I'm going to be real with you. I mean, I was more thinking about what he was saying about stepping away for a while because sometimes I feel like I've been in the kitchen doing this shit. I'm fucking tired of it. Like, sometimes I'm burnt out, I feel, some days. Like, I love going and cooking with y'all because it's a different feel.
It's different, right.
But when I'm dealing with people and they're bullshit and motherfuckers coming to me about shit and it's constantly, like, I get overwhelmed and I'm like, yo, all right, let's work this out. And then I try to work it out with people and then I got other people coming in with their bullshit. And I'm like, and he was talking about the corporate thing. Like, yeah, no. I was more thinking about what am I going to do next?
It's funny because most people at our age, you know, they're not thinking about what's next. They're thinking about when they're done. And I think all of us are constantly thinking about what's next. So, you know, that's the mind of a chef right there. You know, it's never over. It's never finale. It's never, you know, the final chapter. It's always, okay, what's next? And it makes it fun.
I could never retire.
Nope. Yeah, shit, definitely not. Shout out to Keno for joining us, man. We appreciate him being on the program. We'll see you guys on down the road, that's for sure. We got some big changes coming to the show. We're going to change things up. We'll have more to come here very, very soon. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Enjoy yourselves. Have fun. Take care of each other. Do something nice for somebody. Jeffy, thank you. I appreciate you. Great find. Thanks for doing that.
You know I love you guys. You know I love the show, and you know I like bringing exciting new guests.
as often as I can.
Man, there you go. You can't. Would you walk away for a minute?
She had to pee.
Oh, did he?
I didn't see.
No, you know what? My leg was hurt, and I had to stand up, and I forgot to pick my microphone up with me when I stood up.
Oh, Jeffy. We forgot to tell everybody. Jeffy, he's going to have to get his leg amputated. It's
fucking
terrible.
I pulled a hamstring like a fucking idiot. I was walking in my kitchen, and I tripped over a bucket.
If there's one person I know that would do great on a peg leg, it would be fucking you.
Dude, that's how I look. That's how I'm pegging. I'm pegging off the heel. I mean, I can get around. I just can't, like, if I flex my ass cheek at all or make the back of my leg engage, it's like a shooting spasm that makes me kind of, like, go and, like, make a fucking fucked up sound.
You've heard it.
Yeah, it's terrible. Like, I'll be, like, talking, and all of a sudden it sounds like I'm having, like, a weird half-orgasm.
I just made it weird for everybody, but we appreciate you doing that. We love you, buddy. All we want is for you to get better. We want you the T's and P's to Jeffy, Dan.
T's and P's. But keep it weird.
T's and P's to Jeffy. Keep it weird. We love that.
I'm sorry, Jeff, man.
It happens.
Well, I mean, you do get injured a lot. I mean, we thought about changing your name to Dave on the show, but we didn't. In the meantime, shout out to Dave, by the way. I hope he's doing well up there. Dan, thank you very much. We appreciate you. Big shout out to Kino for joining us on the program. You know, he didn't really have a lot of plugs either, which was cool. He just wanted to come on and hang out with us. So, you know, he's a great dude. Look him up. Look him up on YouTube and stuff. There's some pretty cool stuff out there with him. You know, fucking Mama Fuku. That's crazy from the beginning.
Bro, dude, we didn't ask him the Ming Tsai story, but next time he comes on, we got to ask him about it. He did some crazy shit.
Well, I think you should pull some strings and get him to talk to David Chang to come join us.
Oh, maybe we could. You never know. That would be cool to have Dave on. He's a fucking another living legend, obviously. I mean, this guy's, you know, he's doing it all, so.
You never know. All right, friends, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for checking out Plum Love Foods Live. In the meantime, in the between time, remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around the food. Let's give it the time it deserves. We'll see you next week.
From the Tower of Power, too sweet to be sour, I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.